this thing on? Oh, they can hear me right now. They can hear me? There comes a time in every man's life when he's got to
take a look at himself in the mirror and decide just exactly who he is. Well, I've come to that crossroads, and I've decided Notch is a man. Notch is an athlete. Notch is a lover.
But the most he is, I mean, the thing that
Notch
is the most is a goddamn champion.
Hi, my name is Notch, and I'm a hockey addict. I'm as happy as a clam right now. Wish the NHL could do this every year. The All-Star Tournament by nationality. Make it an annual thing. It's too bad we have to wait for the Winter Olympics. I know we can't make the Winter Olympics an annual event because there's not enough corrupt politicians or stray dogs or broom closets with three toilets in them to go around. So I'm going to savor this. It's going to be a nice distraction from all the Sochi problems like we hear on the internet. I thought Sochi was a resort town. You wouldn't know it based on everything we're hearing. People are talking about like it's East St. Louis. It's a resort town. It's on the Black Sea. It's Black History Month. I'd rather hear about that than the hotel rooms, the pillow shortages, the lack of shower curtains, fire hoses above the toilets. You can't flush toilet paper either. It's actually a common thing in a lot of developing countries. Not everybody can have flushable toilets. We can flush toilet paper like we do here in the USA, in the West. You know, $51 billion, you'd think they could have better plumbing. Halliburton should get involved. Take a break from Baghdad in the Middle East. Work on Eastern Europe. Form a company called Western Plumbing. And then go over there and make sure everybody is TP flush compliant. Get the toilet paper companies involved, too. They benefit from this. Why do I have to think of these things? I just want to talk about sports. I don't want to talk about this crap. No pun intended. You know, it's weird. My grandmother, actually, has never been to Europe, but she had a rule in her house when I was a kid that you couldn't flush the toilet paper either. She had the little plastic grocery bag right there for you to dump the used toilet paper in. Just mortifying. Can't believe I survived that. But why aren't we hearing about Sochi, the resort town? Where's the nice part of the city? You'd think you'd put the media up in the nice part of the city. Things are so bad in Sochi that you want the media in the crappiest possible hotels. So they're not talking about stray dogs getting killed, and they're not talking about the oppressive same-sex policies they have there. You want them focusing on menu items where everything says in ass afterwards. It's actually an abbreviation for assortment, but it says in ass afterwards. You've probably seen a picture online on BuzzFeed or on Twitter or on Deadspin or Gawker or some website like that. If you haven't, you should look it up. It's good for a junior high caliber chuckle. I mean, who doesn't want lemonade in ass? Really, got to think about this. Refreshing for a summer day. Country time. If I ran a hot mess of a country, like that country, like Vladimir Putin's country, I want the media talking about the crappy Wi-Fi. I don't want them talking about how we're oppressing gays and lesbians, how we're arresting them, how we're deporting them from the country. I want them talking about their first world problems that can justify why we hate them so much. That's what I'd do if I ran Russia right now. You want them talking about how you're painting the grass and how there's no lobby in the hotel and how light fixtures fall down in the middle of the night. You want them joking about cake suppositories. You know what I'm talking about, stray dogs or gays and lesbians. It's devious, it's reprehensible, but it's borderline brilliant. And I should know. Sometimes brilliance has to have a little bit of deviousness to it. You get the Western media focused on the first world problems that they have in a second world country. At least they're talking about like it's a second world country. Have them talk about that than the serious issues. I just hope this experience for the NHLers doesn't ruin the whole concept of having the pros play hockey. Fifth Winter Olympics that NHLers have gone over there. It's the best kind of hockey you're going to see. Skilled players. There's no fourth liners. There's no enforcers. There's no fighting. Well, you can fight. Fighting isn't outlawed in the Olympic hockey. It's frowned upon, but it's not outlawed. You get your one fight, and then you're done for the game. It's a game misconduct, not a five-minute penalty. It's one of the rule changes that they have. The International Ice Hockey Federation, of which the NHL is kind of like the black sheep. They're the outlaw organization of all the organizations in the world that are involved in hockey, the National Hockey League. They do their own thing more often, most often. There's none of that stupid trapezoid behind the goal, which is actually just an NHL thing, because college hockey doesn't have that. High school hockey doesn't have that. It's only an NHL thing. There's no touch icing in the Olympics. The NHL has the hybrid icing, which is kind of like no touch icing. If the team dumping the puck down is lazy, then it's no touch icing. If the team dumping the puck down is hustling, then it might be no touch icing, and then it might not be no touch icing. But the Olympics, once they dump it down, as soon as it crosses the goal line, no matter what, blow the whistle. Rinks are wider, with the exception of the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver, where they had to use the NHL-size rinks. You get a wider playing surface, more wide open of a game, rewards speed. You're going to get to see playmakers do their thing. You can't pin guys in as easy when you have a wider playing surface. 12 countries, three groups, four countries in each group. Scoring system, the NHL could adopt this scoring system. There's a whole bunch of rules that you're going to see the Olympics that you wish the NHL would adopt. The scoring system is one of them because, unlike the NHL, where they do the 2 points for a win, no points for a loss, unless it goes to overtime or shootout, then the loser gets 1 point. Here, every game's worth 3 points. You know that every game's worth 3 points. None of this, some games are worth 2 points, some of the games are worth 3 points. Winning team gets 3 points for a regulation win. Losing team in a regulation game gets zip. If the game goes to overtime, the winning team gets 2 and the losing team gets 1. That scoring system's actually going to be very important, I think, for 2 of the 3 groups in this tournament. At least 2 of the 3 groups. Every team makes the playoffs. The regular season is you play each team in your group once for 3 games. And then they're going to take the 4 best teams, the group winners, and the second place team that has the best performance, the most points, the wild card. They're going to get byes. And then the 5th through 12th place teams are going to play in the preliminary round. And those 4 teams that win those games are going to go on to play the teams with the byes. And it's going to go 8-4-2 to the national anthems at the end. So who we're going to see making the medal round? Let's start with Group A. Tough group for the U.S., because Russia's in it. I think Russia's going to win the group. I know it's not very patriotic of me to say, but you got to remember, this is the first time that the U.S. Olympic hockey team is going to be playing in Russia since the Miracle on Ice. And they're probably going to be a little jazzed about it in Russia. It's not the Soviet Union anymore, but there are still some people with long memories. How long? How sure are we about that? You ever heard of Vladislav Tretiak? He's the gentleman who lit the Olympic torch during the opening ceremonies in Sochi. He was the starting goaltender for the Soviet Union in 1980 when they played the U.S. They're probably going to be a little geeked about this game. It doesn't help the U.S. to know that on top of being the home team, Russia's just loaded it forward. Absolutely loaded a forward. Alexander Ovechkin, he's got 40 goals now for the season, leads the league in scoring, goal scoring. He's going to be there. Evgeny Malkin's going to be there. Pavel Datsyuk, who's probably one of the best stick handlers, puck handlers in the entire NHL. Ilya Kovalchuk, who was extraordinary, and then he had a contract thing, and he signed a contract with the KHL. He's going to be on the team. I know you probably don't care about this, but there's 4 Blue Jackets on the Russian team. My favorite NHL team has 4 guys on the Russian national team. Artem Anisimov, good up-and-coming young forward. He's one of them. They've got a couple of defensemen. They're kind of at defense, but their goaltending is stacked. Sergei Bobrovsky, Vezina winner, Blue Jacket, best goalie in the league last year. And Semyon Varlamov of the Colorado Avalanche. You see Colorado's record? He's one of the main reasons Colorado is one of the top teams in the Western Conference this year. Something you got to remember, there's going to be some common themes I'm going to go through when I do these groups and I do my analysis. One of the common themes is going to be goaltending is essential. Quality goaltending. In a tournament like this, a short tournament like this, you see it in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which lasts for 2 months. This tournament lasts for about 2 weeks. If you've got a hot goalie, you're going to be tough to beat. USA have some cold goalies. They're good goalies, but they're cold goalies. Ryan Miller, who was the goalie for the U.S. when Sidney Crosby won in overtime in Vancouver in 2010, he's not a bad goalie. He's coveted by a lot of teams around the trade deadline, but he is the starting goalie on the worst team in the NHL. And he's been scuffling lately. Just gave up 5 to Pittsburgh a couple days ago. Jonathan Quick, outstanding goalie. They won last night. Second time in 10 games they've won. Kings are struggling. Goalie struggling. Jimmy Howard, he's had his hot and cold moments this season for the Red Wings. So you got to give the advantage of goaltending to the Russians based on recent performance. I mean, in a lot of ways, with some of these teams, you're looking at Coke versus Pepsi, Burger King versus McDonald's, Blondes versus Redheads, Pepperoni Pizza versus Pepperoni Pizza with extra cheese. I mean, we're talking about, these are good teams. They're stacked teams anyway. NHL All-Star Tournament. Just got to go what your preference is. I want to see the USA win. I'm not going to bet on them when they play Russia. I'm just hoping they take the game to overtime so they at least get 1 point out of it. U.S. has a deep team. Zach Parise is the captain. Two of the top 5 point scorers in the NHL are on the USA team. The fourth and fifth guys, Phil Kessel, Patrick Kane. Patrick Kane's probably the only real sniper that the USA team has. David Backes, Dustin Brown, Callahan for the Rangers, TJ Oshie, the Blues, Pavelski, the Sharks. I mean, there's some good guys. Solid, if not spectacular, guys. The advantage in the forwards I got to give to the Russians just because of the firepower that they have with Ovechkin and Malkin and Kovalchuk, Datsyuk. Defensemen, I got to give the advantage to the U.S. Ryan Suter, extraordinary. Cam Fowler of the Ducks, McDonough of the Rangers, Brooks Orpik of the Penguins, Paul Martin of the Penguins. If Miller, Quick, and Howard are going to have a good tournament, they're going to need their defensemen to bail them out. Like I said, I think the four teams are going to make it automatically to the second round. I think both Russia and the USA are going to be there. I think the USA are going to be the wild card. And then I think Russia is going to be the winner of the group. The key is going to be, obviously, whether that game between those two teams is a regulation win for somebody or an overtime win for somebody. You also got to get fat against the other two teams. There's Slovakia and Slovenia. Slovakia has some potential. They got a few good players. Of their three best players, though, you have Zdeno Chara, leader of their defense corps. They're deep at the blue line. Slovakia is deep at the blue line. Scoring, though, Marian Gaborik's not going to play. He would be the sixth Blue Jacket total in the Olympics if he were to play, but he's not. His collarbone injury isn't healed enough. Ludomir Vyshnovsky of the Islanders, he's doubtful for the tournament. He's a defenseman. He's injured. He might not play. It's not good for your team if two of your three best players either won't or may not play. If there's one thing I would bet on in this group, it would be the over-under on the amount of times people confuse Slovakia and Slovenia. You know that's going to happen. Marian Hossa's on Slovakia. He's their top scorer. Their goalies are Halak from St. Louis, Peter Budaj, who's back with Montreal. They might take somebody to overtime. They might sneak a win over somebody. They're going to be the X factor in the group. Whatever happens when Russia plays the USA, I'm watching what happens when both those teams play Slovakia. Because if you nap on them, they might at least get a point out of it from overtime. And that point might make a difference. Got to get fat against Slovenia, though. They're the weaker of the Slav twins. They only have one NHL player on their entire roster. That's Anze Kopitar of LA. He's a good player, but he's the only one. So now we go to Group B, starting off with Norway and Austria. They're the filler. Then you have Canada and Finland. Canada should win this group. They are by far the most stacked team in this entire tournament. The 20 guys that are the best 20 Canadian players from the NHL that aren't on this roster are better than half the teams in this tournament. That's how stacked they are. Steven Stamkos couldn't play. So he's got his teammate Martin St-Louis up to take his spot. Joe Thornton didn't even make it on this team. Claude Giroux didn't make it on this team. James Neal of the Penguins didn't even make it on this team. They're going to have some pressure on them. Sidney Crosby, Ryan Getzlaff, Chris Kunitz, Rick Nash, Jonathan Toews, Tavares, Marlowe, if you're a Shark fan, they're going to score goals. The key is, are they going to give up goals? Not going to say their blue line and their goaltending is bad. Just by comparison to the scores, you look at the list of the D-men, a lot of pressure to not give it back up. Remember hot goalies, Luongo, Carey Price of Montreal, Mike Smith of Phoenix. Luongo's probably going to be the starter there. I can see them winning the group easily. I am a fan of Finland. I actually wrote a term paper on Finland in the seventh grade. When I went to college, they made me take a foreign language. It was a requirement. And I took Finnish. And everybody, when they asked me what foreign language I was taking, I said Finnish. And they said, well, you just started it. That was the same joke. Everyone told me that same joke. Never gets old. The Finns are loaded at goaltending. The Finns have maybe the best goaltending in the entire tournament. They're missing a couple of their top skaters. Filppulov, the Lightning, isn't going to make it. Mikko Koivu of the Minnesota Wild. There's no Koivu brother on this roster. There are two Jokinens. Timo Solani's probably their top scorer. He's 44 years old. That Canada-Finland game is going to be an epic game. The Canadians are going to have to score against those goalies. Kari Lehtinen of the Dallas Stars. Tuukka Rask, one of the best goalies right now in the league for Boston. Anthony Yemi, the Sharks. Any one of those three goalies. You could just pick a name out of a hat, and you'd have an outstanding goaltender. And they're going to need it against Canada. They're going to absolutely need it. The fact they've had two of their top players, their top skaters, bow out just today, actually, because of injury. That's probably what puts Finland as the fifth team. They're probably going to have to play in the first round of the playoff. They'll probably play the Russia-USA wild card. Whoever is the wild card in Russia-USA, they'll probably have to play Finland in the quarterfinals of the Olympic hockey tournament. A 4-5 matchup. Canada will probably have 9 points out of this. I didn't mention this when I talked about the U.S., but there is a bit of a red flag when it comes to the Canadian team. I'm not going to talk about all the pressure there is back home, and there is a ridiculous amount of pressure from Canadian hockey fans. They're the most talented overall team in the tournament. They should win, but you never know. Like I said, NHL All-Star Tournament. Plenty of good teams to go against. Like I said, Norway and Austria. Finland's going to have to get fat against Norway and Austria. Actually, any team would have to get fat over Norway and Austria. Thomas Vanek's on the Austrian team. They have three NHLers on the Austrian team. Norway has Matt Zuccarello of the New York Rangers as their only NHL representative. Group C, I like Sweden a lot in this tournament. In with Sweden is the Czech Republic, Switzerland, and Latvia. Not really a fan of the Swedish goaltending. They have Henrik Lundqvist, the Rangers. They have Gustafsson of the Red Wings as his backup. And then the backup for the Sabres. But they're just completely loaded at everybody else, everywhere else. You've got one of the Sedins, Daniel's going to play, Henrik's not. Gabriel Landeskog of the Avalanche, their captain, he's going to play for Sweden. Henrik Zetterberg, Daniel Alfredsson, Backstrom of the Capitals, Louis Eriksson of the Bruins. A lot of skill there, a lot to like about these guys. They're great at defense. Erik Karlsson of Ottawa, maybe the best pure defenseman, two-way defenseman in the league. Nick Cronwall, maybe the hardest-hitting defenseman in the league. Sweden should win this group. I'm actually not down with the Czechs this time around. They won the gold medal the first time that NHLers played in the Olympics, which was Nagano. And why'd they win? Dominik Hasek, hot goalie. I told you, hot goalie. Got to ride the hot goalie. Czechs have only one NHL goalie on their roster, and it's Pavlik from the Winnipeg Jets. Let me tell you, if you're not familiar with the Winnipeg Jets, if you need to bet over-under on NHL hockey games at the sportsbook, one of the defaults is to bet the over on Winnipeg Jets games. It's usually 5 or 5.5 total goals for the game. And you always want to bet over on Winnipeg games. Let's just say Pavlik's one of the reasons why you do that. And then just leave it at that. This is probably the weakest Czech Republic team of all the teams that's into the Olympics. Don't get me wrong, they got some good players. I'm not here to slander the Czechs. Like I said, there's 5 or 6 teams that are just full. It's an all-star tournament. Remember that. They're just not my cup of tea. Sweden is my cup of tea. Sweden, I think, is going to win at least a silver medal because they may not be deep at goalie like Finland is. They may not have three ridiculously talented goalies, but they have one really ridiculously talented goalie in Henrik Lundqvist, who will probably start every game. Switzerland has Jonas Hiller of the Ducks. He's their only prominent NHL player, and he's one of the best goalies in the league right now. So he's going to be the X factor for Group C. Jonas Hiller. Switzerland has to ugly it up, especially in the neutral zone. Now, you probably think I'm trying to be funny with that, and it's actually quite funny because that has got it. Switzerland being neutral and everything. The key for a team like that, though, is you want to make sure there's no odd man rushes against your top goalie. You got to make sure your defense is stout, at least from the red line, from center ice back. You can't just let them into your zone all the time. So believe it or not, Switzerland is going to have to make sure that their neutral zone play is by far the best facet of their game. Can't believe I went there. Can't believe I had to go there. You might steal one or two. At least overtime points. Add the deal. So, yep. Key to Switzerland is the neutral zone. The only way they're going to get any points, unless they're playing Norway. If they want to hang with Sweden or the Czechs, got to keep it neutral. Got to hate myself sometimes. Lafayette's got one NHL player, and I don't even know who this guy is. He plays for Buffalo, too. Worst team in the league. So Latvia's toast. Latvia will be fighting Norway and Slovenia for the coveted 12 seed and the date against Finland in the elimination. Two things about the Olympic tournament you got to know. Other than the fact it's an all-star tournament, and it's extraordinary caliber hockey. One is the hot goalie. There will be games this year. A medal could be decided based on the play of a goaltender. Don't know which one yet, but there's going to be some crucial goaltending performances that affect this tournament. I guarantee that. Two is, if you're really hyped on Canada or the U.S. doing well in this tournament, whenever they have gone away from North America in the Olympics, they have not done well at all. Canada and the U.S. have played for the gold medal twice of the other four Winter Olympics where the NHLers have been involved. Salt Lake City and Vancouver. Neither have medaled when it's been away from North America. In those other two tournaments, Nagano in 98 and then Turin, Italy in 06, European teams. Finland is actually the only country to medal three out of the other four times. Czech Republic won in 98. They beat Russia. Finland won the bronze. And then in 06, it was a spectacular gold medal game between Sweden and Finland with the Czech Republic winning the bronze there. Finland won the bronze in Vancouver, which is why I'm high on the Finns. But I still think the Russia-USA loser gets the wild card and the bye. Finland will be the five. I think Sweden's going to be in the gold medal game. I don't know who they're going to play in the gold medal game. I'd love to say Canada. It'll probably be Russia. I don't think it's a coincidence that the North American countries have performed so poorly in Olympic tournaments off the continent. I don't think that's coincidental. And you can't blame it on the international rules or the wider ice for two reasons. One, because there's so many foreign players that play in the NHL. They at least have familiarity with it. They grew up playing that way. So it's not going to bother them nearly as much. It'll be like riding a bike to them with international rules, with the bigger ice. U.S. and Canada, they have more physical players that grew up playing the more physical style of hockey in North America. That actually bites you in the butt on the wider ice because you're more focused on hits than you should be. Hockey isn't so much about hits as it is about speed and skill. At least I think so. You're going to see the speed and skill teams. I think it's going to be Russia and Sweden in the gold medal game. Maybe Canada, USA gets the bronze. Maybe Finland's in there. But I'm looking at Sweden and Russia in the gold medal game. Too much firepower on both those teams. There's too much pressure on Canada. And like I said, the wider ice, it's not conducive to a physical brand of hockey, like the narrow ice is. I just hate to say it, but it's true. You need the stick handlers. You need good puck handlers. Can't wait for it, though. We'll see what happens. By the way, Las Vegas odds, 75-1 that a stray dog will show up on the ice at some point during the Olympic hockey tournament, interrupting a game. 75-1. The death squad can't catch them all. Can't believe I'm rooting for stray dogs. That's how messed up this Olympics is. They got me rooting for stray dogs. Enjoy the hockey. I'll talk to you later.